The saving power of God is seen in the birth of his son Jesus, in the life of Saint Nicholas, and in each of our lives as well. So on this Christmas morning, just filled with the beauty of what God has done for each of us, and we celebrate it so well. We've anticipated it, and we look forward to celebrating this day and the days to come that the church offers to us in these many great moments. But in order to feel the significance even more deeply of what Jesus is all about, what his birth really means to us, more than just a day, more than just a feeling, more than just a couple of thoughts strung together, but for us to really know the centrality of this mystery, it helps for us to kind of sense that we needed this to happen. So we can see that in the life of a family that was in pretty grave need. Can imagine the need that they must have felt. Three family members who didn't quite seem to see a way out of their situation, three daughters in particular, and the father of these three daughters could not afford to buy them what they wanted most. There they were, sitting in let's say, a cold house, and then just gripped with not knowing what was to come next, a stranger starts throwing small bags of gold coins through their window over the course of different nights so that they could afford, this family could afford these young girls' heart's desire. And if you can imagine the joy that must have been felt in that household, then you're starting to get the sense not only of the importance of Saint Nicholas, of Santa Claus. You must be super tired after flying around the world all last night, but here we see this is the beginning of where it all started. This is how it started. He was participating in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. The legend of Saint Nicholas, of Santa Claus. And yet while he's good and while he came to help this family to save them from this dire situation, Jesus is better. Because Jesus doesn't just help one family. He helps all of us and all of our families, and he's born into the world for this very purpose. And more than just imagining that scenario, that gripping scenario of this family that Saint Nicholas helped, let's see the Christmas grace, the work of Jesus in our lives currently. So many beautiful readings here today. That first reading and the second and just this gospel here that we'll unpack a little bit. But hearing these words of Christ, who is the Creator, but he sustains us and we can call him our Father. And how blessed it is that his son Jesus got to receive this love from the Father and bring us all into it. But one particular reading from the Christmas readings, it's not hard to imagine that with such a central focus on the birth of Jesus, that there would be tons of scripture, the Word of God, that would speak to this. But one in particular that might not seem like a Christmas reading is Acts 13 that was read at both of the vigil masses last night. And it just really helps us to see this dynamic. Paul stands up and he explains to the people why it's so important that Jesus was born. And if I was to break it down for you in four parts, Paul helps people to understand that God chose us, that God led us out, that then God saves us, and God calls us to be part of the saving plan. So what does that look like for God to choose us? Paul says the God of this people, Israel, chose our ancestors. When we hear that God created us, there's a certain election that happens in that. That we would know that we are known, that we are part of something big. So one could say, you are what God wants most for Christmas. Your heart, your presence here, a relationship with you. And so, because you're here to pray, to acknowledge Christ as your Savior, know that God's heart rejoices in you. You bring joy to God. You bring joy to this church, to the world that we live in. And as we reflect on how God chooses us, Paul in Acts 13 continues on and talks about how God led us out. Specifically, he says, with uplifted arm, he led them out of it. So important in this dynamic of what God has done, but what he's saving us from is what Paul is referring to is God led these people out of slavery. And we know that Jesus came to save us, to help us, but sometimes it doesn't feel like it, nor would it have for the Israelite people that Paul's referring to. Yes, he led them out of Egypt, but where did he lead them? Onto the path to the promised land. But that path was filled with hunger, with thirst, with temptation to sin, with witnessing their leader fail in faith. Just so many difficulties that they faced. And so this part of the dynamic is realizing that in order to be free from the evils that Christ comes to save us from, sometimes we have to look them right in the face. On the path that leads to the promised land, we're not free yet. The image of if you're climbing the side, the scale of a mountain, and the leader gets to the top first, and he drops back down a rope for you so that you can hang on to it. It doesn't mean you're to the top yet, but it means that there's hope here. And so that's this third dynamic. After God chooses us, but he leads us out, we realize we're on a path. We realize we need someone to save us, and so comes a Savior. God saves us. The birth of Jesus is this great hope for all of our hearts. And so as Paul puts it, God, according to his promise, has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus. It's what we celebrate today. And if our hearts are understanding that we're chosen, but yet we face these real evils, then we'll realize how a great gift it is that God came to save us. And that fourth point in all of this is that then we get to point to God. We get to know that Jesus not only saves us, but that like St. Nicholas, he calls us into the work of salvation. He wants us to live out these lives that would become legendary, that would be influential. Maybe only for us, it's only one family that we would impact, one other person, but it's on behalf of Jesus Christ who comes to save all. John the Baptist heralded Jesus' coming. He was speaking about him when he was present, but so many who came before were talking about Jesus even before he came. So it goes for us that though Jesus was born long ago, we're allowing his birth to be fresh in our hearts today, this reality to come alive, then so we will, like many others, point to this saving God. You see, the three of those four in the dynamic are God for us. It's really only one of them that's supposed to be us for God. So for us to just receive this gift and then respond appropriately, we see it for St. Nick, and we apply it to our own lives. The summary of it all is that there is good, there is bad, there is a save, and then there's a plan ahead. And so to break it down even more, so we can apply it to our own lives, there is good in the story of that family that St. Nicholas helps. The man has three daughters. Thank you, God, that he has some family to be close with. Thank you, God, that as we apply this to our own lives, that God has created us, that we have a community, a family to pray with today, here, together. But then if you acknowledge the bad that is real in this world, That father in the story cannot afford the marriage dowry for his daughters. And so that which their hearts want most, the father in the story cannot provide. And yet when Jesus comes, this is where it gets so good. Because for us, we need him. Because just like the bad in the story of St. Nicholas, we know that Adam and Eve, therefore all of us, can't get back into the Garden of Eden that God planned for our good from the beginning because they sinned. Because we sinned. But then comes the save. St. Nicholas comes with these money bags and just is able to be present to this family and help them out in such an incredible way. And Jesus comes to us, being true God. Not just with the mere financial assistance to help out of one situation, but with the greatest of spiritual assistance that will help in all situations. And so going forward is the plan. Those girls live out their marriages. The legend of St. Nicholas as a disciple of Jesus lives on. And so it's for us. We who are called to be disciples of Jesus keep telling his story and living life in him and life in his church. The gospel today from John sums it all up. The Word became flesh. Will you let this child save you? Will you, like Saint Nicholas, be his disciple and live out his plan for your life? It's incredible to know that it is God who reveals himself in his son Jesus. So if we're listening to his voice, if we want to hear him speak today, we listen to Jesus. And we acknowledge he is the Word that has become flesh. So hear today God the Father speak to your hearts, saying, you are my chosen ones. You have been led astray, but I have come as a human being to save you. And you are invited to receive this gift and to continue to be, as well as find new ways to be a gift yourself as a disciple of Jesus to others. This incredible plan of salvation is celebrated today by each and every one of us and so many other believers throughout the world. Because we believe in as great as the story of Santa Claus, of Saint Nicholas is, the story of Jesus is so much better. It's so much more life-giving, but it helps us to see that this great grace of salvation is applicable to our lives. Is present here with us today. Today, the Word becomes flesh.